So we're starting a new series today. And as our family, or at least Alicia and I at this time, are going through the Bible together, through our reading plan, we found ourselves in 1 Peter a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And if you've ever read 1 Peter, you know it's packed full of goodness. If you haven't read 1 Peter, go ahead and turn there this morning. We're going to get you started because we're going to read verses 1 and 2 and then through 13. So go ahead and find yourself to 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. And the Lord really just challenged me because we are a... If you've been here more than 7 years, raise your hand. Okay, if you've been here for less than 7 years, raise your hand. And now if you looked around and saw, we're about 50-50, maybe 60-40, but certainly we have more people here who have been here for less than 7 years than those that have been over. And the Lord has challenged me, even in my own life, Mike, are you striving to be holy? And so what is holiness? And so we're going to spend the next 2 weeks to talk about holiness. And so this morning, the first question to get your brain working is, what comes to your mind when you hear the word holiness? See, for me, it's somebody who's stuck up. It's somebody who's better than me. Anybody relate? Right? It's somebody who is holier than thou. And so for many of us, it might sound old-fashioned. It might sound like something that's completely impossible. I can't attain it. I can't possibly become holy. Some of us might think that it's only reserved for super Christians. It's not. What we need to understand today is that holiness is not about perfection. It's about direction. It's about what we're doing. It's about belonging to God and being set apart for His purposes. And so we need to be set apart. And so in our scripture today, we're going to see here shortly that Peter wasn't writing to pastors or spiritual elites. Peter wasn't writing to me. No, he was writing to us, me included, right? He was writing to all of us. And it wasn't just for those that were leading the church or starting to spread the gospel. He was writing to the ordinary believers that were trying to follow Jesus. In the middle of a very, very messy, messy world. And holiness isn't just for a few. It's for everyone who belongs to Him. So we live in a messy world. And if we follow Jesus, we're called to holiness. We're called to holiness. And in a culture that is insanely obsessed with follow your truth, do what feels right, do this, do that, you're justified, God actually calls us into something deeper. He calls us to be transformed by His Spirit. He calls us to be forever changed, not to follow after the things that we want, but rather the things that He wants in our life. And so holiness today, it isn't earned. It isn't achieved by willpower. It is simply produced by a believer who is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. That's when holiness takes place in our life. If you can, let's get the audio or the computer channel. We've got a video we're going to watch here in a second. Before we get into 1 Peter, I've shown this video before. It fits perfect with this. Some of you have seen it. Some of you have never seen it. But what we need to understand is when we talk about holiness, it is not about perfection. It is about the process. And so this video is going to show us a picture of what God begins to do in us when we allow Him to shape us. We understand that we have free will. We can either willingly let Him or willingly tell Him no. He never forces Himself upon us. And so it is up to us to say, yes, Lord, we want more of You. We're going to trigger that video now.
Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, but I want to. So I go to God and I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, would You do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son? Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
No, who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
You're not God.
No, I am.
Okay, if you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
You are God. What's that about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Let's get busy.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up things in your life that don't belong in your life. And start right here. Your anger.
Ow!
I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrongest of ways. You compare yourself to others instead of me. And you lie. You tell little white lies. You're so afraid of confrontation. You're becoming a people pleaser.
Okay, time out. I think you've done some really good work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, but when I look like Jesus, people get uncomfortable, and I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
No, what I'm saying is you've grown me to here. Maybe we take a break from each other for a while, all right? And then I'll stay here, and then you come back, and we can grow some more.
You never just take a break from me. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but you never just plateau. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, here we go.
Can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, sorry.
This right here, that secret sin, that thing that you run to whenever you're hurting, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired. Do you want to keep rearranging this in your life, or do you want me to chisel it out?
Chisel.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life.
This hurts, okay? I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you are doing in your life that are insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life.
I know, but I've let you down so many times, God.
No. You were never holding me up.
Okay, then chisel away. But just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. God, I get up every morning and I hate what I see in the mirror, because inside is a scared, stupid kid. And I try, but I can't. I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. So chisel away and just know what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices, so many critics for far too long that are not from me, and you bought into the lie. You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night, at the end of the day, you think you're junk. I don't take time to make junk. I want to show you something about my love. Reach in your back pocket.
This is it's a page from a notebook when I was in college. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Dear God, did I hear you right? You said you want to use me. But I feel really useless. But if you can take this life, this mess of a life I have, and do with it what you want, I love you, God.
I love you, too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at.
It's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there, and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's?
No, not the way you see yourself, or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I made you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. You are an original masterpiece.
See, this video gives us a powerful picture of what holiness really is. It's God shaping our life. I was going to bring my hammer and my chisel this morning, and I remembered that I had this video. Holiness is about God chiseling away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And the truth is holiness isn't something that you can create. It's not something that I can create on our own. It is simply the Spirit's work in us as we surrender to Him. There has to be a step of surrender. And in our scripture that we're getting ready to read, if you haven't yet, open it to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter understood this. And he wrote to the believers who were trying to follow Jesus in a world that pushed them in the other direction. And his words are just as needed for us today as they were then. They'll be on the overhead if you don't have your Bible. Verses 1 through 2 and then 13 through 21. We may not go all the way to 21. I think I was going to initially and I forgot to change that, but that's okay. We're going to start in verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's where we end, is verse 16. Peter was writing to the believers who were scattered, who were persecuted, and he calls them exiles, for those who were exiled. They were living in a culture that didn't share their values, their belief, or their faith. Does that sound familiar today? Do we not live in a culture that is anti-Christian today? See, there's a tension here that Peter reminds the believers of. You have been chosen and you have been sanctified by the Spirit. Holiness wasn't an accessory to their faith. Instead, it was actually their identity. It was who they were. And just like them, church, we are called to live holy in an unholy world. We are called to live holy in an unholy world, not to earn salvation, but because salvation has already marked us as God's own. Because we've stepped into a relationship with Christ, we are called to be holy. And that leads us to our first point. If we can check that TV, it's off. It shut off some time ago. That's what it helps me with my notes. Holiness begins with grace. Holiness begins with grace. Peter opens by saying, believers are chosen and sanctified by the Spirit. In other words, holiness starts with God's grace, not with human effort. It is not your works, it is not your effort, but it is by the Spirit of God. It begins when the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates your heart at salvation. He doesn't just forgive you. Scripture is very clear. He gives us a new nature. In Titus 3:5, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't just take you and polish you up. In the car business, when we took an old trade-in, we used to call it a pig. You can put a bow on it, but it's still a pig, right? We had other sayings as well, but that one probably captures what I'm trying to say, is the Spirit doesn't polish up the old you. He makes you new from the inside out. Okay? And so many people try to behave holy. If I just show up to church, if I just read my Bible, or if I just carry my Bible with me, we try to be holy. We try to keep ourselves from letting that foul language out of our mouth. You can act religious all you want, but until you allow the Spirit of God to make you new, you cannot be holy. You cannot scrub the outside and make it all pretty. Because inside, guess what? Go back to the car analogy, it's still a pig. See, Jesus confronted this very same thing with the Pharisees. We see that they were experts at looking holy. He spends most of the Gospels, not most of them, but several times in the Gospels, he calls them out for their bad behavior. He calls them out for this looking holy part, where they prayed loudly, they dressed the part, they followed traditions, but their hearts were unchanged. Their hearts were hardened towards the Lord. Jesus said that they were like cups that were clean on the outside, but filthy in the inside. If you've ever seen a desperate coffee drinker's coffee cup, it's disgusting. Dave will tell you it brings more flavor to the coffee. If you wash it, the flavor's gone. You can wash the outside of that cup all you want, but you leave the inside untouched, right? But instead, we need to scrub the inside. See, Jesus said that they were like those cups, but they were filthy inside. He said they were like tombs. They're beautiful, but were full of dead bones. Outward obedience without inward transformation isn't holiness. Guess what it is? It's religion. When we start dabbling with religion, guess what? We become like the Pharisees. And I don't want to be a Pharisee. So understand that only the Spirit can make a heart truly clean this morning. You can't live holy until you've been made new. You cannot live holy until you have been made new. When you understand grace, holiness stops feeling like pressure. It stops feeling like something that I need to strive towards, and I have to do this, and I can't do this because that's not holiness. And in fact, what it does is it starts to feel like a privilege. Because now it's not that it's getting pressed on us, but it is because of grace that we get to walk into holiness when we surrender to the Lord. And God isn't asking you to perform. For everybody who's sitting here thinking, I need to perform well, pastor's judging me, he saw me do this, he heard me say that, listen, God's not asking you to perform, he's simply asking you to belong. He's inviting you to belong. He's inviting you to surrender to His Spirit so your life can be transformed. But this is where many believers get stuck. See, just like the video, he wanted to control where the chiseling took place. They think holiness is something that they get to choose. You know, this is my thorn in the side. I'm going to live with this because that's what the Lord's given me to deal with. Instead of, you know what? The Lord doesn't desire for me to be messing with this. Why am I making excuses for it? Why am I doing this? And then they also think that holiness is a one-time event, that I was saved. Once I was saved, the work is done. I am holy. I'm trying to choose my words here because I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to call them out individually, but salvation is simply the starting line. Salvation is the starting line, not the finish line. And the same Spirit who saved you now wants to shape your life. The same Spirit that called to you, the same Spirit that brought you to repentance, the same Spirit that made you a new creation, is the same Spirit who wants to start shaping you so people can see Jesus in your life. If there were books written about our life when we died, every dark corner in our heart and in our mind, would we be proud of those who picked up that book and read it? Would we be proud of the life that we lived? Or do we have things in our life that we're hanging on to in the name of what he said, Lord, I'm pretty good. You've done some work. It hurt. I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable, but I like where I'm at. I'm better than they are. Let's just call it good for right now. Let's just wait a little bit before we do any more. See, holiness doesn't just begin with grace. It continues every day of your life as you allow the Holy Spirit to work day in and day out to make you more like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's about surrender. Holiness is a lifelong journey. I've been on it for 17 years. I'm not holy. I watched that video this morning and I was in tears. No matter if I can look back and say, I've come so far. The Lord has released me from my addiction to alcohol, to tobacco, to all the things I was doing, to I'm a pastor now. But as your pastor, I feel like I'm falling short. So when I watch that video this morning, to make sure it goes along with the sermon, I'm in tears because I'm missing the mark. Some days you're going to feel like you're taking steps forward. Other days you're going to stumble. But every time you turn your heart back to the Lord, the Spirit picks up that chisel again and it keeps shaping. As long as you're willing to surrender, progress is proof that grace is still relevant in your life. So, are we a holy people? Holiness is the Spirit's work in you. We often treat holiness like a self-help project. I'll pray more, I'll read more, I'll sin less, then I'll be holy. But that's not at all what holiness is. That's striving. That's working of it of your own ability. Holiness is not what we do for God. It's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's not about what you accomplish for the Lord. It's about what we allow the Holy Spirit to do in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice the order. The Spirit leads, then holiness follows. Holiness is not about trying harder, working harder, being more intentional. It's about surrendering deeper or trusting deeper and surrendering more often. It's about trusting deeper and surrendering more often. As we walk with the Spirit, He transforms our desires. What I desired then is not what I desire today. The things that we once craved, they lose their appeal, and the things of God begin to draw our hearts to Him. This is what sanctification is. To desire more of the Lord. It's a process of becoming more like Jesus, one obedient step at a time. Sanctification is the Spirit shaping you into Jesus. The Spirit doesn't just point out sin. Doesn't just condemn you, point out sin, and say, oh, you're awful, you're terrible. No, the Spirit produces fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Who knows in this room that you can't manufacture any one of those? Well, I can be kind. No, you can't be Jesus kind. Well, I can do that. No, you can't. We can't have gentleness and self-control the way that Jesus desires because we simply cannot do it without the Spirit. And in fact, they grow as we stay rooted in the Holy Spirit. As we stay in this position of surrender to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to chisel us, this is when these fruits start to show up because we have stayed in Him. If you think of it this way, when you're filled with the Spirit, holiness becomes your reflex, not your reluctance. It becomes our reflex, not our reluctance. But if holiness is the Spirit's work, does that mean that I just get to sit back and do nothing? Not at all. See, the Spirit shapes, but we must stay in the position of surrender. He empowers, but we have to walk in obedience. The Lord does not make us make the right choices. We have to step in obedience and make those choices. Grace, okay, everybody pay attention. Grace isn't permission to be passive. Grace isn't permission to be passive. It's power to participate in what God is doing. Just because we have grace, we don't get to just go live however we want, when we want, where we want, doing all the things that look nothing like Jesus. No, instead, the grace gives us the power to participate in what God is doing in our life. Now that leads us to the third and final truth today. The Spirit's work doesn't just happen automatically. It'd be easier if it did, but it doesn't. And God will shape you, but He's not going to do it without you. Holiness requires our cooperation. Holiness requires us to cooperate with the Lord. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, holiness requires attention and intention. It requires we pay attention and requires us to be intentional. The Spirit sanctifies, but He doesn't override your will. Romans 12:1 echoes it. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The Spirit provides the fire, but you bring the sacrifice. You bring the sacrifice. See, think about it like this. For those of you that know, great. If not, read it in your Bible, open it up, start reading at the front cover and get all the way through the Old Testament. You'll see in the Old Testament that God Himself sent the fire from heaven. But it was the priest's job to keep it burning all day and all night. It was the priest's job to keep it going. So what we need to understand about that is God still sends the fire today. But He calls us to keep it alive. He calls us to keep it alive, to stay on the altar, to stay surrendered, and to never let the flame die out. Are you taking care of that fire today? See, some believers say, "God, make me holy. God, make me like You." We sing songs. "God, I want to be more like You. I need more of You in my life." But they cling to the very thing that keeps them defiled. "Jesus, I want more of You. I'm going to hang on to the thing that utterly destroys me. It's what defiles me." Holiness is about letting go. It's about saying, "Lord, I surrender my habits, my attitude, my pride, my comfort, whatever hinders You, Lord, I lay it down." It requires a complete surrender in everything that we are. God does the cleansing. You do the yielding. You have to yield for Him to be able to cleanse. The Holy Spirit's never going to force you into obedience. That's what you need to understand. The Holy Spirit is never going to force you into obedience, but He's going to invite you into that transformation. He's going to invite you to be part of it. And what we're going to find is that the more that you yield, the more His holiness will flow through us. So now that we've seen what holiness is, we've looked at it, it's God's grace at work. It's the Spirit's transformation within, and it's our choice to cooperate with Him. The question now becomes, how do we live this out? How do we do this every day of our life? What does holiness look like in real life? It's easy to talk about it here on Sunday mornings. It's easy to say, "Well, I got cleaned up for church this morning." What does it look like in real life when I get home after church today? When I go to work on Monday? What about in my home that has no peace? Or in the very quiet corners of my heart? What does holiness look like? And that's where Peter's word lands so impactfully here in this application. When Peter says, "Be holy in all your conduct," he's not calling you to flawless living. He is not calling you to flawless living. He's calling you to full surrender. Full surrender. Lord, more of you. Remove anything that would distance me from you. Holiness is a lifestyle, not a moment, not an experience at salvation. And it's easy to treat holiness like a Sunday outfit. Some of us get dressed up on some Sunday morning. Some of us don't. Something we can put on. When we were kids, we had to dress up. My parents made us dress up when we went to church, and probably that's why I don't dress up today. We always had to wear the button-up and the tie, and when you're a lanky, tall, weird teenager, you don't like dressing up. And the clothes don't fit right. Anyone? Right? Come on. Teenagers? Listen. They always used to make us dress up. And the one thing, we were poor, and so if you're not poor, you probably won't understand this. A lot of you probably took your church clothes off and threw them in the hamper to be washed. Not us. We folded them or we hung them back on the hangers and put them back in the closet because we only wore them for an hour and a half. They're still clean. I wear the same pair of pants two or three times in a row before they're dirty. Okay? I'm poor. Listen, okay? It's just how, but it's something that we do. We then that's how we treat holiness. Something that we can take off when we come home from church. But that's not intended. What's intended is we clothe ourselves with holiness. Peter's call was for holiness that follows into every space we enter, to every place that we go, at work, online, behind closed doors, and in our thoughts. Clothe yourself with holiness. It's seen in how we talk. It's seen in how we treat people, how we handle temptation, how we respond when we are wronged. Isn't it easy to get overly mad when you have been wronged? Human nature, isn't it? We don't pursue holiness to earn God's favor. We pursue it because we have His favor. Did you hear that this morning? We don't pursue holiness to earn God's favor. We pursue it because you already have His favor. You already walk in His favor. Holiness is not God's way of restricting your joy. If you are viewing it as a restriction of your joy, ask Him to clear your heart, because in reality, it's His way of protecting your freedom. That may not make sense to some of you right now, but I promise it will. And at the end of the day, you can't have Spirit-filled power without Spirit-led purity. You can't have Spirit-led power or Spirit-filled power without Spirit-led purity. I underlined this and bolded this in this next line of my sermon. I need you to understand that I say this with all of the love that I can possibly say as your pastor. It is not judgment on any person in here. And if you feel like I'm calling you out, I'm not. I'll just submit to you that that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, we're talking to you this morning. Fair? I don't want any calls on Monday that I made anybody mad. You can't claim to love Jesus and stay comfortable with what nailed Him to the cross. You can't claim to love Jesus and stay comfortable with what nailed Him to the cross. Holiness is saying, I want nothing in my life that dulls His presence. If there's something in my life this morning that dulls His presence, I want it removed. It might be painful. It might be costly, but He is worthy. You can't claim to love Jesus and stay comfortable with what nailed Him to the cross. So where do we go from here, church? Where do we go? See, Peter's words remind us that holiness isn't something we visit. It's where we live. It's in how we live. And when the church walks in holiness, guess what? The world doesn't just hear about Jesus. No, when the church walks in holiness, they see Jesus. So when you look in the mirror, just think back to the video. Who do you see? Tommy. Exactly. That's why we need to keep doing this. Because until they see Jesus. So when a church walks in holiness, the world doesn't just hear about Jesus, they see Jesus. The Spirit calls us to holiness, not out of duty, not out of because that's the right thing to do, but out of destiny. We are called to holiness, not products of this culture, but simply because we are citizens of heaven. This is your temporary residence, folks. There's a much longer life in front of you. Is it heaven or is it not? When the world sees a holy people, they see a glimpse of a holy God. And what are we telling people about our God? See, here at Engage Church, our mission statement is engaging our community for Jesus. And do you know that nothing will engage a watching world like a church that reflects His holiness? Did you hear that? Nothing will engage a watching world, meaning all eyes in this community have their eyes on every church here in town. And nothing will engage a watching world like a church that reflects His holiness. When we as a body decide to live set apart, the world sees what grace really looks like. They encounter Jesus. Stacy, if you want to come on up. If you would this morning, let's stay seated today. If you would you just bow your head and close your eyes? This is a heavy sermon this morning. This morning, maybe you have tried, you have attempted, you have worked, you have done everything you can to change yourself, but it never lasts. It's good for a time, and then it's not. You don't need another self-improvement plan. You don't need to buy another self-help book to see how do you fix this. Simply, you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Holiness begins when Jesus washes you clean and the Spirit gives you new life. That's when holiness begins. Romans 10:9 is very clear. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, everybody, if you know it, say it, you will be saved. Confession of mouth, belief in heart, you will be saved. So if you're in here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you want to start this work of holiness in your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand? You are free to raise your hand. It is only I looking at you today. Is there anybody? Come on. There's one. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Let's join together. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me for all of the things that I have done. Make me a new creation in your Spirit. On this day, help me to walk in complete surrender to you. Help me to be holy as you are holy. I surrender it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There's one person who gave their life to the Lord this morning. Listen, there's a party in heaven going on for you right now. The Bible is clear that for every person, every sinner who gives their life to Christ, the angels have a party in heaven, and there is a party going on for you because your name has been written in the book of life. Here's what you need to do today. You need to tell somebody about your decision. Don't just be quiet about it. Tell somebody about it. Tell them that you gave your heart to the Lord. And I know we have food waiting downstairs. I can see all the hungry faces. I can see everyone salivating in here because they know that there's a potato bar downstairs. But who knows that there's time for the work of the Spirit to have its way before we go eat. This isn't about checking boxes. This isn't about trying harder. Today it's about surrendering before the Holy Spirit to allow Him to breathe fresh conviction and fresh grace into our hearts today. God still calls his people to be holy, not because he's harsh, but because he's near. Because holiness draws us closer to his presence. Today's a moment to be honest before God. Each of us can take time this morning to be honest before the Lord. If you know that you've been walking with the Lord, but you know that there's areas where you've drifted, where you said, nope, that's a no-go zone, we're not doing that, we're not handling that, we're not dealing with it ever, I'm fine with having it the rest of my life. If you've drifted away from his standard, if your mouth reflects more of a bar scene than it does a church scene, if there's anger in your life, if there are things that you have drifted away from the standard of the Lord, today, church, this is your time to come back to holiness. For those of you who were impacted by that video because you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much in my life, it's not, guess what? You have the chance to respond this morning as well. Because the desire is to have more and more and more of Jesus. This isn't about guilt. This isn't about shame. We're not going to say, oh, look at them. Look what they're doing. It's simply about letting God do what only he can do. And that's to make us more like Jesus. Because not a single one of us off of our own good decision-making power can ever look like Jesus. We can't do it. So some of us need to let the Holy Spirit deal with what you've been ignoring this morning. Some of us just need to get our hearts back to a place that says, Lord, whatever you want in me, I'm willing. Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. We're going to take just a couple of moments here around these altars. We're going to take time. We're going to say, Lord, renew our hearts. Ask him to fill you again with his Spirit. Ask him to purify your motives, to restore your joy. Maybe you're walking around and you just have no joy. He can restore your joy and to make holiness our desire, not our duty. Holiness shouldn't be viewed as a word for only those worthy and a heavy word at best. It's freedom for all to walk close to God again. So don't wait for someone else to move first this morning. When you feel that nudge, that's your cue. When you feel that nudge, it's your cue to respond, because here's the thing that I know, there's freedom waiting on the other side of obedience. So as the worship team plays, we can take a few minutes. As the worship team plays, if you feel so led, come to the altar and say, Lord, remove anything that would put distance between us. Amen?